Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And yes, even though we're in a bit of an off season when it comes to golf, at least on the PGA Tour, we will be talking about what's still going on with LIV Golf and the European Tour. They're playing at the BMW Championship and a little bit of drama going on there. Our good friend Steve Elkington, the 1995 PGA champion and won multiple times on the PGA Tour, will be joining us here shortly. He's from Australia, just to be clear on that one. And of course, Australia is going to be involved in the President's Cup, or Australians to some degree. And they'll be playing at Quail Hollow coming up next week in Charlotte, North Carolina. So the President's Cup teams have been announced. The captain's picks, Trevor Immelman on the international side and Davis Love on the American side, to pick their at-large bids, if you will, to go with the automatic qualifier. So it looks like a very, very slanted pro-American tour tournament and favoring the Americans in a big way. But having said that, we've seen winners on paper not come through when it actually comes to getting down on the grass. So we'll see how it all plays out. But that's right now how everybody's looking at this, is it could be, especially with LIV Tour and some guys that were expected to be on one of the international or American teams not being eligible for the President's Cup, certainly affecting the scheduling of who's going to play against who and who's on which team. So all of that is what we're going to be talking about today. Frank Bassett, as always, in our Nashville studios, joins us. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, I'm doing good.
It's a mouthful. There's a lot of stuff going on, isn't there, for the off season?
Here's the deal. I'm just ready right now for the LIV, because there was a Billy Horschel, Ian Poulter little thing that was thrown up on Twitter this week that shows them kind of in each other's face a little bit. Who knows what was said? You don't hear it. But they looked intense toward each other. I'm just waiting for somebody to walk out on the first tee when the first guy walks up and say, "Are you ready to rumble?" Because
Michael Buffer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there could be an issue this week. I hope not, but there's some blood boiling around.
Well, I don't know that everybody would agree with you in the "I hope not." I think there are a lot of people, some are, you know, fans and things like that aren't invested, just fans. But I think some players on both sides, certainly administrators, if you will, on both sides, I don't know that they don't want there to be some kind of confrontation. From the sense of, you know what, we've been beaten on, and I'm saying this, LIV Tour guys have been beaten on by a lot of media and PGA Tour machine, if you will, certainly PGA Tour players and Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods and all that. And I think a lot of these guys are like, you know, enough's enough. And I think that there might be some pushback. And certainly Ian Poulter and Billy Horschel are two fiery guys to begin with, right? I mean, if those are two guys that are going to say anything, it would be those guys about enough's enough, or what do you think, or whatever might happen.
Or can I borrow some money?
Even more so than Twitter, right?
I mean, can I borrow a couple of bucks?
Yeah, yeah. So I think, and more and more as we go through, I think the evolution of the LIV Tour, I think things are being deflated to the degree of it now being more, I think, from what you're hearing from Rory and stuff, the dirty money part, I think, is being diminished to some degree, because people are, I mean, we're getting ready for a World Cup soccer event, Frank, coming up in Qatar, right? Which is in that part of the world where the Saudi
Arabian... Is it Qatar or is it Qatar?
It's Qatar, although they've gone back and forth with it, but now they're saying Qatar.
I wasn't sure. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought, but
no, sorry.
That's so funny that it's Qatar, it's Qatar, it's guitar, it's guitar.
Well, what they're saying is now it's coming out, and I'm just saying as a society, and that part of the world has a lot of the same rules, if you will, and which has caused some of the problems, which the LIV Tour has had to deal with, where the money's coming from. Qatar is saying no alcohol. You can't bring alcohol. And how are you going to get English soccer fans? I'm just picking one country.
Oh, here Australia you go. The Queen's America. In the hospital and you're going to start hammering on.
How are you going to have a soccer event without alcohol? Now they're saying, oh, well, we'll have some. Budweiser's a sponsor. But my point is they're already saying, here's a lot of rules. You got to make sure you watch these, because bringing up Brittany Griner, right, and WNBA player, you better know what you're supposed to do or not do, or pack in your bags when you get there, because they could have, if you have liquor in your bags, it could be a 6-month prison sentence.
Does that mean that you can't take Listerine? A lot of people with bad breath over there. It has alcohol in it. You know?
I don't know. I don't know. But they're saying be on guard. And so my reason for bringing that up is it's a different part of the world. And yeah, the rules are a bit different in Saudi Arabia. And so that has rubbed off. I think that is kind of becoming diminished. And I think now it's more just about the fact that a number of the guys on the LIV Tour are suing the PGA Tour. Yeah. And a lot of these guys, Billy Horschel, are saying they want their cake and eat it too. If you want to play there, go play there. But don't turn around and then say, but we also want to play in the PGA Tour. Now that's to Norman's point. It. Norman's going, you know what? You should be able to play wherever you want to play.
I've got
what he's always pushed for, right?
I'll have an unleaded on the rocks, please.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I mean, so come on, please.
That's where it's kind of going, and that's where a lot of the complaints are coming from the PGA Tour guys now, is that they shouldn't be able to do whatever they want. They should have to go there and go take your money, go do that. Don't think you can play over here. And those guys on the LIV Tour are going, no, that in our way of looking at it, we're free agents. And we've always presented ourselves as contractors, contract labor. We can kind of come and go as we want. We're not part of a team and a league like the NFL. So that's where we're at. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Steve Elkington has to say about this, because he certainly is opinionated. And again, he's been around the world of golf for turned pro in late 80s. So, you know, do the math.
Yeah. And he's Australian. Time. So he's, you know, he'll say what he thinks. And
I'm sure knows Greg Norman, known him for years.
Very well. A good friend. Yeah.
Aussie golfers and probably the current Adam Scotts and the current guys and Cameron Smith, right? Who went to the LIV Tour. So all those Australians, I'm sure, keep in touch with each other, even though different generations. So it's going to be quite interesting. But you mentioned the Queen. That is a little news that's happening now. Yeah. I hate to say it, but it does sound a little ominous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. She's really
96.
Old.
Yeah. Yes,
she's really old, and it's time. It'd be hard to step down from the monarchy.
She's been it for more than anybody in history, right? I mean, it's what, a 1,000-year-old monarchy, and she's ruled it longer than anybody else. There have been some that have done some some mean things to make sure they kept their rule going, right? I mean, there's been some beheadings and things.
No, not those
in
guys.
The previous centuries that
Anglo-Saxon Protestant England?
How could that be possible?
No, they wouldn't do that. Oh, they do that somewhere else. I don't know.
Who's the guy that went through all the wives? Like
Henry
VIII
VIII
or something?
Yeah.
Didn't he have like seven
didn't
wives?
The monkeys do a song about Henry VIII? I am Henry VIII, I am.
No, it's Herman's Hermits.
Who did I say, the monkeys?
You said the monkeys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw a special on the monkeys. Mickey Dolenz is still alive. It was Herman's Hermits. Is that Herman's how you say it?
On
Never mind. Oh, I don't even want to go there. I'm tired.
Man.
What a week. Played golf yesterday, by the way. Let's throw this in real quick. Yeah, and I putted well. I couldn't believe it. Because the last time I played, remember I told you, I missed every 3- and 4-footer.
You weren't happy with
your putter. Couldn't make it.
You weren't happy with your putter.
Putted well.
So what'd you do?
I did well.
Different. No, but what'd you do different?
I made putts.
You didn't change anything?
I have
same
no,
putter?
Same putter. Didn't change a thing. No, it's my PXG putter. It's just me. I mean, you know.
Yeah, obviously. So,
and I like my PXG putter. I like it a lot. Long putts, fabulous with it. And it's a heavy putter. It would be the opposite normally. A heavy putter works better, or they say it does, on short putts because, you know, the blade doesn't open and close, whatever.
Right.
And long putts would be more
difficult.
But you've
got the opposite.
I have the opposite. Yeah, so I don't know.
And having trouble in
but
short putts.
But everything worked yesterday, so obviously it is the Indian, not the arrow.
Good.
Not
good,
to offend good. Anyone out there, no, you know, no. On the Washington football team or whatever they call it now. What do they call that team now?
They are the Generals.
The Generals. Wow. Yes. Okay. The old Generals or just the Generals?
Then you have the Guardians. Who are the Guardians, Frank? Do you know who the Guardians are?
The Guardians?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Cleveland Indians.
Oh, is that what they changed that name to?
Are the Guardians, yes.
Cleveland I don't Guardians. Keep up with Cleveland or Cincinnati
doesn't
or Washington.
Sound right, does it?
I keep
doesn't
up with the Titans, right. That's it. No, it doesn't sound right.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you say Guardians to anybody, I swear, and it's been only a year, but a year change. Nobody's going to know the Guardians. They're going to the who? The Guardians. Oh, that's a Major League Baseball team? Yeah, it is.
Well, it sounds like a religious movement. I have no idea.
Something.
Anyway, so it's going to be a fun week to watch and see what happens over there. Yeah. With
They're playing in the BMW Championship, and here's what's going on, is that the BMW, where they're playing, it's an European Tour event. Well, there's, as always, there are world golf ranking points to be had,
yes.
correct? And so a number of the guys that we're talking about who are the LIV Tour players that are playing in it are doing it for that very reason. They want world golf ranking points because they still want to make the majors. Everybody on the LIV Tour, as we know, and PGA Tour, aren't automatic qualifiers for anything. There's a lot of guys that have not made. Matter of fact, Harold Varner, who just went to the LIV Tour, and markedly I make a distinction and not say defected, because I think that's a it's such a slanted term for people to use, like there's a disloyalty to it. Hey, loyalty to your family, I think, comes first. So when you're saying you've abandoned one, okay, well, I'm going over here because that's the best choice for me. And that's the way I look at it and say, okay, that's fine. Well, Harold Varner, this year is the first year he's ever played in all four majors. So to my point, some of these guys are playing to get their points because they want to play British Opens and U.S. Opens and Masters and whatever else they can play because they don't get the automatic qualifiers. And that's caused a bit of the rub where the PGA and European Tour guys are going, well, I thought you were over at that tour. And if you're there, why do you come here? And, of course, the LIV Tour is like, you can come play with us if you want. Nobody's saying you can't.
Bring your shorts.
You're the only one who has that rule that says we can't. John Rahm, you're the ones who are saying you can't play on these tours and that. You guys can play with us anytime you want. So that's where the friction comes in. So, yeah, I can imagine. That's another guy, John Rahm, that might. He and Sergio. Wouldn't that be a great
one? Well, Sergio's had to talk,
yeah. right? Yeah. They have had to talk.
I can see Sergio getting mad and rah, 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 but John would just knock the crap out of somebody.
Maybe.
You know, John's a big boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm, you know, those guys grew up with it. And certainly Rahm, I'm sure, looked up to Sergio. You know, there's 15-year difference or whatever there's an age. I'm sure he looked up to him. And now you're like, okay, are you so angry with that? Or are you not angry? I don't know. I mean, it's
who knows?
He was angry that guys were playing because he has a friend whose name I can't recall, a Spaniard golfer.
That didn't get to play, yeah.
That didn't get to go to the BMW because these other guys took some spots.
Kind of ticked him off,
took some spots, and that kind of made him mad. So that's where all that angst and animosity is kind of going, is there's, you know, things that are spinning. And we'll see. As I've said before, I think we're going to hear a lot of this, and then at some point somebody's going to go, what's best for golf, right? And if you're USGA, PGA, RNA,
yeah,
a lot of A's in there, what's best for golf, right? What's best for the world of golf on this whole big planet? And they'll figure out a way to I think, make everything work, I think, or at least as best they can.
They're going to have to because it's been mishandled from day one.
Yeah, and the ugliness is not good. And I was saying earlier that some people want the – yeah, I think some people do because, let's be honest, the LIV Tour at first was kind of being dismissed as like, nobody – the LIV Tour gets a lot of attention, haven't they, Frank, for the last 8 months?
Absolutely, a lot of headlines. And everybody's saying now, let's just shut up about it and let's talk about golf. And it's not going to happen that way, folks.
No,
it isn't.
No.
It's just like on the news.
No, because things like this happen. Like the BMW happens, and next thing you know, you got confrontations. You got people going, wait, why is he here? Why aren't they? Yep. That's not going to stop.
Nope.
Because, again, the other thing people have to remember is, to the point, they are independent contractors. These guys are all on their own. They don't have a commissioner speaking. Well, they have a commissioner in Monahan, but as we saw from Tiger and the guys in Wilmington, the players are dictating what's going on. They're getting together and saying, we want more money. Okay, here's what we're going to do. The commissioner pretty much just does what the players.
Seems like the players have all said that. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll get into that probably a little more with you-know-who. So.
Sure. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Of course we would.
I think so. We should.
Well, we take a break, and we can bring in Steve Elkington. Again, Elk has been around for a long, long time. 1995 PGA champion, won a dozen times on the PGA Tour and all over the world and from Australia. And I believe he'll be joining us from West Coast. Is that right, Frank?
He is in California, yeah.
I talked
to him yesterday, and he was heading for the airport to fly out to the West Coast and do some things for his entity, Secret Golf, and his he's got some business ventures going on that are pretty cool. But one thing he does have that's important is still has a beautiful, smooth, sweet swing.
Sure he does.
Yes, sir.
And doesn't he have a son?
His son.
Sons that are
his
really
son.
Good
yeah, Sam is his son. Sam's great. Yeah. Sam's a sweetheart of a guy. I mean, I love Sam. I love how he hits a 3-iron further than I can hit 2 drivers in a row.
Yeah.
So I mean, Sam's a player. Of course, look who his daddy
is. Is he a pro?
He is not. No, he didn't want to do that.
Just amateur.
He's a really good amateur. Still is really good.
Okay. Spent a lot of time on the range with Dad, I'm sure. So,
yeah.
All right, we'll take a break, and then Steve Elkington will join us and talk all about whatever we've been talking about and a lot more with a lot more insight, I'm sure, than than we've been bringing to the table, but we'd love to hear from him as we always do with Steve Elkington. So Frank and I'll be back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we're going to return right after this. Stay with us.
Are you ready to improve your golf game once and for all? A PXG club fitting will bring you greater distance, accuracy, and consistency from tee to green. At your personal club fitting, you'll meet with a PXG fitting specialist to discuss your skill level and goals while introducing you to the PXG product line. Next, your fitter will analyze your performance data with TrackMan golf simulators as you hit your own clubs, if you have them with you, and you should, and a selection of PXG clubs. PXG fitting specialists are highly trained golf equipment and fitting experts who work exclusively for PXG. Watch your performance skyrocket as you are expertly fitted for the right club heads, loft, lie, shafts, and grips to increase your distance and accuracy while lowering your score. Nothing compares with a PXG club fitting to improve your performance and level up your fun. Schedule your PXG club fitting now at pxg.com or by calling 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Folks, do it today. You'll be glad you did. All right, folks, listen up. Labor Day, of course, is come and gone. And I hope you had a great time, and I hope you didn't steam your own buns in sweaty undies. For underwear that can handle the heat, you needed to have been wearing your Tommy John underwear. And Tommy John underwear, you're that much cooler, so you do everything better. Thanks to their breathable, lightweight fabric and four times the stretch of competing brands. They have dozens of comfort innovations, from the hammock pouch to the horizontal quick draw fly, if you have to go quick. Tommy John keeps you looking and feeling good. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have people like me, fanatics. I'm a fanatic. I wear Tommy John. I absolutely love it. And they've sold 17 million pairs. People love their Tommy John underwear. And they also have loungewear. So you got to check that out. Tommy John doesn't just make you feel cooler. You actually are cooler. Stay up to 7 degrees cooler than cotton in Tommy John's Apollo underwear. Now, let me tell you, I've worn Tommy John for a long time, and I absolutely love the product. I travel on tour. I'm walking the tournament, carrying a microphone, talking to players out there for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And in my Tommy John, I'm extremely comfortable. So I would recommend them to anyone and everyone. Plus, there's a no risk because you're covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. Let me say that one more time and say it the right way for a change. There's no risk because you're covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. That sounded better, didn't it? Hey, listen, love Tommy John, and this is what I have to say about it. You need to shop Tommy John's sale now through September, all the way through, at TommyJohn.com/golftalk and save 25%. That's 25% savings, folks. So get that 25% off site-wide right now at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See site for details.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett joining
Hello.
You and talking some more about what's going on in the world of golf. It's coming up on the President's Cup. President's Cup goes all the way back to 1994, and it's an international team. It was started by a number of people, and George Bush being one of them, to get people other than
George Herbert Walker Bush's father started it, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. The old guy.
And so the international team was arranged, and that's South Africans and Australians and Canadians and Asians and all over that aren't Europeans, and it's got a rich history as well, and that gets going at Quail Hollow in Charlotte starting
Great
next week
track.
With the President's Cup.
Great track. Hard
and so,
golf course.
All that and a lot more to talk about, so we bring in our special guest. Steve Elkington joins us this morning. Elk, thanks so much for being with us. How are you doing today?
Good morning, gentlemen. A lot of things going on here in the golf scene.
You think?
There are.
Just a couple. Hey, Elk, I know you're in California, so it's early for you this morning, but we want to jump right into it. I mean, there is a lot of talk and a lot of jibber-jabber going on about players that should not be playing in the BMW that are on the LIV Golf Tour, and just wanted to get your opinion about some of this stuff. I mean, who should be able to play, who shouldn't be able to play, the independent contractor situation, the way the tour's kind of handled or mishandled, if you will, this entire situation, and just wanted to jump in and get your opinions.
Well, you know, I watched the golf channel last night, and I was hearing, you know, Horschel speak and Rahm and some of the other guys talking about all this. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, what would I be thinking about if I was on tour right now? I was particularly talking about this European event, but it has nothing to do with Horschel, how you qualify for the event. I mean, all the, you know, the media has so much access to the players. They can literally walk up to them on the range and put a microphone in their face of Rory or Horschel, and they can give their opinions, and that's fine. But, you know, the way you qualify for an event has nothing to do with the players. I mean, if they should go ask Pelle, the commissioner. You know, I would be steering all questions to him because, I mean, Gooch or whoever, they've qualified for this tournament. And there's certain qualifications that have to be met to make it into an event. It has nothing to do with anyone else's opinion. I mean, pros play for money, and there's 144 spots that you're in to get in this Wentworth Field, and if you're in it, you're in it. There is no discussion about it. If they want to change how you get in, then they need to talk to the top, not the middle or not the players.
It's a good point, and it's a point that a lot of people have brought up. When you played, Elk, and you turned professional back in the late 80s, mid-80s, so it's been a long time, and you're a professional forever and ever, and gone through, I'm sure, a lot of different discussions with different players through all that time. How did you view yourself as a professional golfer? Were you aligned with different tours or the PGA Tour for so many years? Were you an independent contractor? How did you look at that? And certainly back then with Greg Norman, at some point, I guess in the 90s is when he started the idea of maybe expanding and having kind of a world tour. Were you on board with that, or did you look at, we need to be loyal to just one tour, the PGA Tour, back then?
Well, when you think about what you are, you know, you are an independent contractor. Jackie Burke told me, he said, you're an independent contractor because nobody is paying your way. You're paying your own way. There is no salary given to you. So you're, you know, you're the one that fronts up all the money to go play. I mean, you know, it's more expensive now than it was then. But, you know, I remember in the 90s when, you know, I was one of the top players and we were putting together, a lot of the good players were sitting in on listening to this world tour idea that Greg Norman had at the time. And when you're talking about allegiance to tours, I mean, it was never a problem to be on the PGA Tour and travel. For example, you know, I used to go home to Australia or I would go to Thailand. I won the Thai Open in 1996, for example, or I would go over. I was using my success on the PGA Tour to, if you will, cash in a little bit more to be paid an appearance fee to go play in parts of Asia where they haven't seen a lot of major champions or whatever, and you would go over there and you'd make a big check to go. And the way that process works is you call the tour and you say, hey, you know, I'm not going to play next week. I'm going to Thailand. Are you guys okay with that? And the tour would say, yeah, we're okay with that. But, you know, we'd like for you to do something for us. You know, we'd like you to play, for example, we'd like you to play an event you haven't played on the tour in 5 years. Let's say I hadn't played in Milwaukee, for example, a tournament that's not even around anymore, so no one can come back and tell me about that. And I say, okay, fair enough. I'll play Milwaukee next year. If you, you know, release me to go to Thailand, and they'd say, okay, that's fine. And that's the way it went. And that's the way it's always gone. I mean, you see now, you know, Rory McIlroy, you know, who's one of the best players on the tour, and he gets to travel overseas and play, and he's allowed to do that. Now it's all changed now, as we know, and we can talk about that more, but, so there was never any problem of moving around to start with.
Well, what now? When you say that there was never any problem moving around, you still had to get clearance from the PGA Tour to play
permission,
I guess, to play in an event, and for that they wanted you to do something back for them. But
yeah, they might fine you if you didn't
exactly
get released, but you never lost status. You
know, right.
There was never anyone threatened. I mean, you know, I was thinking last night about Poulter and Westwood and these guys that are catching a lot of flack, you know, they had enormous you know, pressure on them as a golfer to play that DP Tour. They were playing 12 events over there and 15 on our tour. That was 27 events on two different continents.
That's a lot.
To stay exempt, man. And they've been doing that for 30 years or 20 years or whatever. That's a lot. And now you got these guys that are, you know, coming over there telling them, you know, they shouldn't be here. And it's tough because, first of all, the guys that they're talking about, whether it's these LIV guys particularly, they make the event better. You know, I was listening to Roger Davis, who a contemporary of mine from the Australian tour, played on the tour many years. A lot of people may know Roger Davis' name. He's now the chairman over in Australia. And they've said, you know, we're going to let Leishman and Cam Smith or any of the LIV players play when they come back to Australia, because we really trying to put on a really good event and we want the best players to play over here. And I thought, well, that's a mature way of thinking it through for now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So what do the Australian public want to see? You know, and I know how big Cam Smith is now that he's won the Open and what that's going to be like when he goes back. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Last week we had an event in Boston, the LIV, that is, and there was no other event on the tour. And to me, I watch golf. You know, I watch good players play golf. I love watching Dustin Johnson win that tournament last week, and I'm looking at all the good players, and I'm thinking, you know, all the people that think that LIV sucks, it doesn't. It's a good product. I don't care.
I disagree. It's not a good product. It's a fabulous product. It is fun to watch LIV golf and streaming it. And the thing of it is, it's exciting because there's so much going on at the same time and you're flipping around. And so there's kind of no downtime when you're watching LIV golf. I enjoy it. I watched it myself and absolutely loved every minute of it. But I want to go.
To get up and get another drink.
Well, not really. I brought the cooler up into the den.
Yeah.
You know me.
Yeah, six pack. You
spoke at the top of the show about the President's Cup. Now, I'm not controversial. I love the President's Cup. But you want to talk about an exhibition? The President's Cup's an exhibition. There is no money they're playing for. They're not playing for anything except the trophy.
That's pride.
An exhibition. And pride, right? Of course. But
and so that, look, we, and I'm curious about that, Elk.
Well, LIV Golf, but before we jump out with this, though, LIV Golf is doing something that I really like, and it's because I've not been to your home country, and I really want to go before they plant me in the ground. There's some great golf courses in Australia, and there's some rabid golf fans in Australia, and LIV is going to be bringing some events in the future to Australia. So it will expose this audience, the worldwide audience, really, but expose them more to Australian golf and Australian hospitality.
No doubt. And, you know, I was talking to Pat Perez on the phone, you know, the most hated love man in golf right now because.
Yeah.
And it's taken a while. Before I get back, it's taken a while. And I'm really surprised that it's taken a while for the general public to kind of grasp what the team concept is at LIV. And the LIV team concept is really, really cool. And, you know, you take two scores the first day from your four-man team that goes on the board. You take two the second day that goes on the board, and then three the third day, and that all goes together. And that's how they determine this team event. And Dustin Johnson, these guys, they put together a really good team. And that's really, you know, they're into it. And it's kind of cool. But going back to Australia, as you said, they're going to have all the people in the world go and watch it. They won't be able to squeeze another person into the tournament in Australia. But I was thinking when I went to Bangkok one year and played and Tiger Woods was over there when Tiger was just starting out. This is about 96. And LIV's going to Bangkok here very soon, and I was thinking of the crowd that came to see Tiger play before he even won the Masters in 97. Mate, I think when this product gets out into the rest of the world, I think it's going to even be having more impactful. I mean, you see who they're signing. They're signing Lahiri. I mean, imagine if they go to India. What is that impactful?
Right.
Probably. I mean, the tour doesn't do anything for Lahiri in India, right?
And if they get, and the rumor was they're going to get, Hideki Matsuyama, what in the world would that do? Oh, my God. Because he is a god to that part of the country.
Yeah, the interesting thing that nobody can push back on is Cam Smith came out of the Greg Norman Foundation. I mean, he yeah. signed up as a junior at the Greg Norman Foundation in Queensland. I mean, my mum and dad live up there now, and he sort of graduated out of that foundation. So Cam Smith's allegiance to Greg Norman is very strong, and then we see it so much that, you know, Greg Norman was able to drag the number two player in the world out of the tour, you know, the current Open champion and the current Players champion, over to LIV Golf.
I'm curious too, and we're talking with Steve Elkington, 1995 PGA champion and multiple winner on the PGA Tour. I'm curious, Elkin, we're talking about the LIV Tour and what some of the criticism has been, which is it's an exhibition. They're blaring music, and they're wearing shorts, or all this stuff to kind of diminish what they're doing, and acting like it's 54 holes and it's a shotgun. All these different things that they wanted to do, that the PGA Tour or staunch supporters of that are saying, here are the criticisms. But if you're putting yourself, Steve Elkington, in their shoes on the LIV Tour, aren't you still competitive? When you tee up a ball, it's not an exhibition to you. First of all, you are playing for money. You're playing as best you can. You're trying to be Dustin Johnson and sink an eagle putt on the playoff hole. You wouldn't lose that, would you? Like, they're acting like, oh, those guys, they've made so much money up front that nobody's even going to care. You would still care, wouldn't you, if you're playing in a tournament?
Look, it's not an exhibition. You know, that's just a tired talking point that comes out of everyone. You could take a bunch of tour players and tell them that there's a low scratch prize today in a tournament today at the ABC Country Club down the road, and the low pro gets a trophy or whatever. These guys are going to go crazy to do it. I mean, they just right. are. And, you know, when you have, let's go with the definition of what an exhibition is. It's usually everyone has their appearance fee paid before you get there. Okay, there's an argument that LIV has that with all these guys with upfront money. But from 20th place at LIV into the top 10 is like $1.5 million more. So, yeah. You know, if you just want to sit at 20th and just cruise in an exhibition and make, you know, $200,000, or do you want to fight and get up in there and win $1.2 million for the week? I mean, so it's not even a question. I mean, it's not an exhibition.
No, not at all.
I mean, because yeah. the prize money is staggered.
I'm curious too, Steve, if when we're talking about the money, and Harold Varner might have been the first, and maybe other guys have alluded to it, they've kind of tried to in the past, the ones who went to the LIV Tour, to diminish that part of it about the money, because everybody else was talking about it, and Monahan and other people were saying, oh, it's about greed and all this anybody cares about. Now you, closing in on 60 years old versus the 30-year-olds that are on the tour that might be saying that about some of these guys, how important is the money part of that? If you're, as you said, you're a professional golfer, which means I make a living playing golf. How important is it that somebody says, okay, we're going to guarantee you, give you up front $20 million, $100 million, $200 million? Are the guys naive that are saying, oh, it's about the money, and you look at it now and go, well, yeah, it's about the money. Why else would you be, you're a professional golfer. You're not doing it for free anyway, that the money should be important. It should be a factor in why you might switch to the LIV Tour.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, when you think, you know, if they just gave you no money up front and you just went over and played for the LIV purses, I mean, that's twice as much money as they're almost playing for on the tour. And, you know, the tour has come out now and said, okay, we're going to try to do these 20 events, and we're going to play for 20 million, and we're going to get 60 players in there. And if I'm sitting on the tour and I'm thinking, okay, I'm 115th on the money list, how do I get in the 60, the elevated events? How do I get in them? And then how do I get into the tour championship? If there's 60 guys playing in the top in 20 events and I can't get in one of them, how can I win enough money to get in? I don't know how a guy outside of 60 to 125, and I know tour players are talking about this, how can they actually penetrate that bubble of goodness at the top? But yeah. Going back, I know I jumped over there a little bit, but going back to the money side of things, you know, look, a guy like Pat Perez, he played 35 events on the tour last year, made $1.3 million, you know, finished 125th or 124th on the money list. For him to go to LIV was no brainer. It's a bigger yeah. decision for someone like Cam Smith. You know, the question of Cam Smith, all this money up front, you know, huge amount, you know, estimated, whatever, 100 plus, you know. I can't speak for Cam Smith, and I don't know, you know, but they all knew that if they go to LIV, there's a chance they're not coming back. That all had to be dialed in, and that's why the price went up. I mean, the price keeps going up because there may not be any room back. I've noticed also that you know, all the whales that went over to live, like Dustin and Koepka and Brooks and all these guys, Bryson, they're not trying to come back. They're not trying to come back. They've already made the decision, and I think, they're not coming back. So the next tackle point is going to be this. If the tour comes out and has their raised advance for 20 million and no cut, and now you've got 20 million on live, no cut, what are the world ranking points going to do? Are they going to give it to one and not the other? That's going to be the next, choke point.
Well, when you say the next choke point, though, what now in the rules for the world golf ranking points, it's a 72-hole event. Am I correct?
Yeah, and there's points around all that, which we could go deep down a rabbit hole, but Tiger's events, 72 holes, no cut, 18 guys, they get points. There's all kinds of other events that there's no cut that don't have points. The biggest question is, are you going to let Cam Smith and Dustin Johnson sit over there and play well on live, and they just don't exist? And I know there's people listening to this call, they're going to say they don't exist. So the official world ranking. So in other words, they are still good players. They should be at number 3 or 4 in the world. And someone over here on the tour who's getting world points is actually not really the 2nd or 4th best player in the world, because there should be some other guys in live that are slotted in there. Now, I'm not saying that anything. All I'm saying is they got to figure it out.
I agree 100%.
Is there points worth staggered to 54? Like you get less points because it's a 54-hole event? Is it 25% less points?
Well, does it diminish the PGA of America trophy? Does it diminish the U.S. Open? Does it diminish the Open Championship in that they don't have the truly best players in the world? And I say it does somewhat if they won't allow them to play in those majors.
And if more keep coming, Frank, right?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
And if more keep coming, I mean, it's not over, right? There's more guys. You said
no, there's more going to live. Yeah.
Yeah, could make this.
Live Golf is a hell of a product, for God's sakes, for entertainment. And they don't even have a TV contract yet. But their demographic, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you're good friends with Greg. We know that. Right now, most of the people who are coming into golf to grow the game, are streaming it, are watching it on an iPad, are watching it at their leisure
on a laptop.
Yeah. They're not sitting in front of the TV on Sunday afternoon and the other point I want to make is if I want to watch a PGA Tour event on TV, I start off with the Golf Channel. Then I go to something else. Then I go to Peacock. And then I finally go to Network. So what's the difference?
Probably not, yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, nowadays, when you, like my son Sam, they watch stuff in the golf cart in between holes. They're watching soccer matches
on their phone
or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I must say, listening to Liv is not Jim Nance on 18 that I'm used to. Okay, all right, I get that. But I'm watching the golf. Like I said earlier, if you think the product is crap, it's not crap. It's a very good product. I had some guys that went last week from my home club to Live Boston to go up and see what it was all about, and they came back with some very interesting feedback. They were like, "Well," I said, "what about the music?" And they said, "Well, I got to tell you something." He says, "There's a lot of clubs that have music going on the range. Me personally, I don't like music. I don't like playing with someone that has music. That's just me. And you can say whatever you want about that, but that's just me. Jackie Burke doesn't allow music at Champions. He says you're out there to play golf." However, the interesting thing they said about Liv was when the music was going, what it did was it let the crowd speak freely, normally, like you and I are talking right now, and none of the players are worried about it. Like, they're all talking all the time.
There wasn't the abruptness of somebody's phone going off,
there wasn't a voice, stop, he's on the tee. Right. In other words, they're just all sort of softly still talking. So I thought that was interesting. They said the product was huge build out. massive build out of infrastructure, you know, food courts, and the Live 54, you know, hospitality is just off the charts. I mean, then everyone that comes goes to the concert afterwards, and it's the top acts, and they've got all these things built for kids, you know, they've got all these interactions. Now, I'm sure the tour does all this as well, but they're really going all for a new audience.
You know, a tournament near and dear to your heart that you won twice, the Players' Championship, started that several years ago. Started, you know, they started building out the different gates. They have the Steve Elkington Gate, and the different gates you can come in are past champions' gates. And around those are food courts, and then, of course, they have the simulation of 17 for the kids to try to hit a shot onto an island green. They started some of that sort of thing. And it really took off. I mean, people enjoyed it, but it's still, once you're on that course at the Players' Championship, it's shh, it's hush.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I agree with what you're saying, Steve, which is that if you're especially younger, and every sport wants younger, right? Everybody, every business wants younger. You can't let your audience, whatever it is, even if you're in retail, they can't all die away and you have nobody to buy your shoes anymore. You have to keep going young. And part of the youngness is, I've got nephews and my son who's 30 years old and late 20s. And you know what? When they play golf, as you said, they're looking at their phone the whole time they're doing this. They also don't want to be told that, let's go to church. And sometimes you go to PGA Tour events and you feel like you're right. Everything's shh, and that's not their cup of tea. They might say, fine, go do that, but I'm not going to come because the whole time I'm being told to quiet down. I want to go. I've got a nephew who goes with his buddies. They have a hell of a good time. And, yeah, they go drink and they do that.
Yeah.
That's the environment that they want. And if the music's playing and all that, then that's catering to the 28-year-olds. And I think that's where Greg and the Live Tour is being very smart, saying that's the audience we're trying to attract. We might lose Elkington and Matthews and Bassett, but we're not looking for 60-year-olds. we've had them. We need the 30-year-old.
And that's the way to grow the game, right?
The sport.
You grow the game with the younger people.
Yeah, and the other big, you know, the other biggest talking point about the two is the legacy, right? You know, there's some guys that are really staunch and say that we're not going. You know, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Rory, you know, we want to stay here, play for trophies and so on. Look, I'm the recipient of a lot of goodwill from my record on the PGA Tour. I don't go anywhere one day and nobody doesn't talk to me about winning the PGA or doing something in golf on the tour. I get that. But on the other hand, I also talk to the young players on the tour that I know very well through my company that they don't want to play the tour for 25 years. They don't want to be a lifer. And I'm kind of hurt that, you know, when I got on tour, I wanted to play all the way up under Jackie Burke. I wanted to play all the way to I was 50, and I did that. But I talk to these young guys, and they're like, you know what? I want to play the tour for another 7 years, another 8 years. Then I want to go do something else. And I'm like, how could you think that? What is wrong with you? Wake up. And then all of a sudden, Live product comes along. And now Harold Varner, the guy least likely to jump ship, said, you know what? I'm out of here, man. He said, I'm going to get this big number up front. This is going to guarantee my success with my family forever. I may only play 5 years over here. Who knows? But then I'm kind of done. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm seeing something that I heard, and now there's actually an avenue to do it, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. And by the way, you guys said it; they're not done. They're not done adding players yet. And it's and I think I got to be honest with you. We're at about, what do you guys think the number is between the tipping point where it's just become Live has become too much, or it's just become too good a product? Is it five more players, good ones? I'm saying, is it three? Is it two? What is it? I mean, I think it's five more players of really top players. Man, it's like a coin flip to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if you could get, and I'm just throwing names out without rumor or anything else, but if you could get Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, you know, guys that are President's Cup, Ryder Cup type players, that might do it. Even a Cameron Young, right? A young guy who's rookie of the year, probably.
Yep.
You get those kind of guys, you do have a tipping point because, as you know, Steve, and everybody else knows as well, the bottom part of the PGA Tour are names just like the bottom of the Live Tour. Nobody really knows them, right? You could say all kinds of guys on the PGA Tour who are ranked 128, 137. A lot of people don't have any idea who they are. It's very top heavy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows those top 25 guys. You get a handful of those top guys, those top 30, 40 guys, I think you do make a big difference.
One thing you hear a lot, Steve and Tim, is the players that are coming out of college right now are so much more prepared to play at the PGA Tour level than ever before. So if I'm sitting there getting close to no man's land, which no man's land is an age between 40 and 50 before you can play PGA Tour champions, and I'm offered something to go to live, why would I not go where I can be as competitive as I've always been? Or should I stay and play against kids half my age who can hit the ball 400 yards?
Yeah.
Well, college kids have got the college kids, good college players, really good ones, have got the best opportunity with the current environment, the way the tour is, you know, sanctioning players for going to live, because they're not affiliated with anyone, right? So if I'm a good college player, we're like I was, Billy Ray Brown and I, you know, we won three national championships in Houston. Let's say it was 1985 right now, and this product stood there right now. We're not on the tour, and there's a live product. And they were wanting to pay us, you know, let's say it's $5 million to go over there. Like I've heard some of these numbers for some of these amateurs to go over and turn pro. Well, and it didn't work out for me. Let's say it didn't work out. I can still walk right on the tour. In other words, I'm not affiliated with anyone. To me, that's very dangerous to the tour to be able to, for these young guys that are coming out of college that are good, to backfill the live. Honestly, I mean, that's they're in a good spot.
On top of which, too, Elk, and we've talked about this, about the lack of, well, and now the PGA Tour is making changes because of Live Tour, where there'll be some money right before you get started. You talk about coming out of Houston and starting your career. Was it intimidating? Was it scary that there was no guaranteed money? There was no, I had to take money out of my pocket, my parents, my friend, whoever was giving me money to try to make it as a PGA Tour player. That had to be, I mean, you tell me, but wasn't that scary and intimidating? Exciting at the same time, but also a lot of uncertainty because, as you said, there was money out of my pocket that I had to come up with before I even knew if I could make it on the tour.
Well, I'll tell you how I got started. I had a good friend. When I got on the tour in 1986 to start the tour in 1987, I got a $20,000 loan from the bank. I put $3,000 down on a car with some payments, and I went on the tour with $17,000, and I turned $17,000 into what I got today. Mm-hmm. So back then it was a lot cheaper to play, of course, but doesn't matter. I figured at $17,000, I had about 3 months worth of action on the tour, meaning that I could survive for 3 months if I didn't make a cent. And I paid back that loan, and my friend had signed the note for me in case I went belly up, and I was off to the races, and that was how I started. Now, you know, now they're paying $500,000 to the rookies and so on. That's good. But I don't think they're going to have to really foot out a lot of money. And, you know, I was talking to some of the tour players about this recently, and they were saying that, you know, most of the guys, what is there, 150 guys trying to get 125 spots, right? 125 yep, right. keeps their cards. So there's about 150 of them trying to get in there. So 125 get their money. They don't pay them anything. And now, let's say a guy wins $480,000 on tour, doesn't keep his car. Well, the tour owes him $20,000. You see, so it's not a massive amount of money being put out. Now, it's a great gesture. We tried to get $5,000 for cuts back in 1988, 89. I remember guys at meetings saying, hey, we need some money, but when we miss, we need some money. And they're like, well, you know, we're a charity, you know, we do this and do that. And, you know, we could never get it across the line.
I overheard in several player meetings, you know, when I was out on tour a lot over the years, well, if you want money, play better. Just play better. And that didn't sit real well with a lot of guys.
Well, the thing about the tour no matter what, if it's a big event, 20 million cut, let's say it's a cut, and, you know, big number goes to charity, everyone's happy, but, you know, people don't realize it's 75 guys each week go home with zero.
Yeah. Right. Well, negative.
Zero. Yeah, well, expenses? They're negative for sure, but they're zero. They go home with zero.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Absolutely.
And that's tough in a big league.
Very tough in a big time league,
you know, the PGA Tour, that is.
And well, there's no cheap place to stay at PGA Tour events when you're traveling out on tour. Before we let Steve go, I have to do this to him. You know, we know he's a good friend of Greg's. And Steve, I'm trying to go to the season ending championship at Doral, but they don't have any rooms. So if you're thinking about going, Let's get an Airbnb down there or something. Or maybe you can talk to somebody you know, like a Trump guy or whatever, and get us a room at Doral or two.
You're really putting me in there with Trump and Shock today, right?
Yeah, I know.
Trump does own Doral, okay?
Tournament. Yeah, I won the Doral tournament a couple of times.
I know you did.
I'm gonna go see one of these live events because I've just got to go see it.
Let's go to Doral. That's the perfect one.
I know. My son now works for a company called All Access, Sam, that is, and that's a golf travel company. So if you want to book trips, he's thinking about putting together an event for that one.
Oh.
For some high rollers like you two guys.
Oh, yeah, wrong. We're talking to a major champion here. We know you got a bigger bank account, okay?
Yeah. Mike, I got a feeling if you guys went, it would be more like Tin Cup. You'd be like in a Winnebago.
Yeah.
No.
With Cheech Marin sleeping underneath here somewhere.
I've seen the way Steve Elkington travels, and that is not the way he goes. No.
Yeah. I did want to ask you though, Elk, before we go, President's Cup, we've dabbled into a little bit, but does the international team have any chance? I mean, it seems so one-sided, and with all the defections and different things happening, too, to the international team, how do you think that's going to play out?
I think the international team is a ton of good players. They're great players. Of course, they've lost just the big whales that are on that team.
Yeah.
But the Americans are so strong. I mean, we are in the middle of potentially the American team – Ryder Cup, what they did at Whistling Straits, they could dominate. I mean, Europe doesn't have much, in my opinion, at the moment, depth-wise, and the American team is just so strong. It's very impressive. The American should win the President's Cup for quite a while here. I hope it's a good event. I spent a lot of time, in the President's Cup. I played four of them. We were the only winning team down in Australia. It's a great event. And, I'd like to see it go off well. I mean, the guys are good. Everyone's good on the team. It's just I got a feeling that the U.S. team's better, way better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It seems like it on paper. Sometimes that doesn't always play out, but it does seem like it. I think you're right.
You never know in match play, right?
No, you don't. I'm going to head to Charlotte and that golf course, too. And I don't know if you played Quail Hollow or not, Steve, but it's a booger bear. I mean, it's tough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the real deal.
Yeah, it really is. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there. So, if Sam's going to be there, let's get in touch. I'll get in touch with Sam.
He's setting up for Live Miami.
Nice. I don't think I can afford it, but maybe he'll give me an all-access pass.
Free drink
tickets.
We may know a guy. Yeah, Sam, let me say this before we let Steve go. I know his son, Sam. I've been around him a bunch when we're out on tour doing shows, and he is one fine gentleman. He is a true gentleman. And Sam, also, how far does he hit that 3-iron, Steve?
Mate, he's got all the tools he needs.
He does.
Just got to find that fairway where, like a lot of us.
It's a compliment though. He's a fine young man. You raised a true gentleman.
Thank you. All right, good boys. Deal. Well, great catching up with you.
Yeah, have a great one. We'll be in touch this week, too. I'll talk to you probably later today or tomorrow.
All right, mate.
All right, pal. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
See ya.
Thank you so much. Steve Elkington, join us, and some good insight into that. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get those rooms at Doral after all.
No, you're not. No, I don't want to go. Begging is really going to work for you.
Groveling, begging, whatever. No, I'm going to go. One way or the other, I'm going. I mean, there are places to stay down there. So.
Sure, there are. But, it's called a beach and a little tent. Bring your own tent in the trunk of your car. Get to the beach. Yeah. Just kind of put it up, a little pup tent. You'll be fine.
Well, just run a Winnebago. That'd be the way. Now, that's a 10-cup way to go. Get a folding lawn chair and put it on top. Sit up there with a cooler full of beer.
Get your beer.
Burr.
Like you're watching NASCAR.
Steve is a great guy, isn't he? He's a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah.
And he does travel well. He had an 18-wheeler that was totally decked out. And
guys have done that.
The
right?
big Davis show. Love, it was called the big John, show, and he John had an 18-wheeler that he had a driver that would take it in, and that would the big canopy would come out, and he'd do golf clinics, and the guy can still play.
Sure. I mean, it's and good insight there too, because I think for people that a lot of people are learning this. I don't think until Live Tour came around, I don't know that a lot of people, certainly friends of mine that don't follow a lot of golf, just know the sport, would have no idea that these guys had to lose money literally to kind of get on tour. As he said, he had to take out a loan if you're as good as he was, right, as and he was a All-American and all that, if he was in football or basketball, those guys don't take out loans.
No, they get
guaranteed $50 million contracts.
And right, what about NBA, media NFL? To cover sports? What about the media? I mean, you know.
What about it?
Well, you got a salary at CBS. But, you know.
Yeah. But your point is what? You don't get paid to go to the events or something?
The media that travels with the tour doesn't pay us.
No, but they have somebody who does. I mean, they're
we have sponsors that do, and things like that. But to get started in media is expensive too. So
it is, but people didn't know that that's the way it was in sports, because all we hear about is how much money, and in this country, a lot of it is NBA, NFL directed or Major League Baseball. They don't realize that in golf, and we all know how Tiger, these guys are rich guys. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, it's just a great sport. You play golf for a living. You fly jets. You know, but if you're one of those guys that aren't quite that elite, you get in, you are taking out loans, whether it's a bank or your dad, or people didn't realize.
Well,
that.
I would be willing.
If nothing else changes, I'm glad that that part is going to change, and people shouldn't have to struggle and look at mom and dad and hope that I can make it till I'm 24, 25 years old on borrowed money before I get my game clicking.
That's how McElroy did it.
Yes.
Remember the first time he won, he went and bought it, paid off his parents' house, you know,
as by the way, a gesture.
But you know, 99.9% of our audience that listens to this show are astute golfers and golf listeners and watchers and all that. So they know.
Yeah.
I mean, they know. So
I guess so, but I don't think they cared. I mean, and now I think they're seeing that it does make a difference. It is hard for people to get it. There's a lot of Ricky Fowler in every pro golfer, which means you can disappear almost overnight and go, wow, whatever
Ricky's
happened to
an
that
anomaly.
Guy?
You know, he's an anomaly. I mean, he was a superstar before he was a superstar on the golf course.
Yes.
Just because of the person he is, which is a very good person, and he's good for the game. And
I'm just saying, the game can disappear on you, and you've got nothing, right? You're sitting there. So that's why a lot of these guys, I think, are saying, if I can get $100 million and my game goes away, as Elk was saying, and I'm not going to be great in 5 years, I got my $100 million.
Let's look back at our friend Stephen Bowditch, who was on some of the Cupper teams and really great player.
He played the President's Cup.
Yeah, he played the President's
Cup.
That's
where he was at, and it was gone almost overnight.
And something happened to his game, just kind of went away.
That's what I'm saying. And you don't think he'd be a perfect candidate. That's what I'm saying. What was it, in 2000, I don't know the year, 16, 17, he won twice, right? And 1 year, two-time winner on the tour, playing the President's Cup. Yeah. And then it goes away. Well, he didn't have $50 million given to him. And I guess he probably wishes he could. So I think that's where a lot of these guys might be. They always know they're almost an injury away, something that happening to them, and going, okay, I had a game and now I don't have the same game. And, you know, I can't make a living and I'm only 31 years old or whatever it is. Right. I still got to do something. So anyway, interesting.
It's always interesting to talk to Elk and hear his, we talked at length yesterday on the phone, and he's in California, of course, with his business and Secret Golf. Check out Secret Golf out there, folks. It's a great site, a lot of great videos. And Diane Knox, Russell Knox's sister, Diane is now married and about to have a baby. Congratulations, Diane. But Diane works with Steve, and they do some videos on gambling, which is really cool. So check out Secret Golf.
And it's instructional ones, and it's just a fun site.
Well, the players do the instruction. So
he mentioned Perez. He's been involved with Pat for a long, long time as well, doing videos on that site. So, it's cool. So, all right, I got to hit the tees.
Yeah,
so
you're playing today, huh?
I am playing.
Playing with your boys, your group, or money?
I'm
or?
Playing with Burton.
Hey, Burton Gilliam, our good friend from Blazing Saddles. Anybody else we know? You're playing with W, too?
Go play a nice golf course. Yeah, I'm going to play with Mel Brooks. I think I can beat
Mel. Mel's coming in? Good.
He's 98 years old or something like that. just a couple other friends. But, it should be fun. I hope.
Well, tell Burton I said hello. Give him my best. He's one of my favorite people. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right, brother. Well, I guess somebody should play some music somewhere and get us out of here so we can say goodbye.
I think
I'll go play too. So
thanks to Club Corp as well. Check them out. Clubcorp.com. Invite it. Their new name for that company. So you go to either website. They still have clubcorp.com going on. And find a course near you to become a member and be a member. Get privileges all over the country. Clubcorp.com. Invite it. It's a great, great company.
And one of my favorite exclusive provider of golf clubs and gear is PXG. Love PXG. Love my PXGs. They are just They're great golf clubs. I recommend them highly.
They are beautiful, too.
They are beautiful, aren't they?
Golf course. Wow. They are beautiful golf clubs. All right. That'll do it for Steve Elkington. Thanks so much for being with us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.